I'd like you guys to watch. So are you guys, can you see the, is this okay? You've got a good visibility of this? Okay.
Kids that get discotheque.
Listen.
I'm sorry. You are a nice boy, but I'm too beautiful for you. Goodbye, Brad from America. You want one more kiss before I go?
Are you kidding?
I'm here tonight to tell you about a father who loved his son and a son who loved his dad. The way this story is going to unfold for you is a little bit different because I want to bring it to now. You see, a dad would go home and he would go by the school, and every now and then he would pick up his son and say, "Son, why don't you go to work with me?" The boy loved that. And when his dad would just come and pick him up, he was the happiest boy ever. He knew that he would get to spend the afternoon with his father at work, and he would get his coat and they would walk, and he would bring hot chocolate for his son for it's really cold, and they would go through. But this boy was different. This boy would see things. This boy wasn't normal. And when they were walking one afternoon going to where dad worked, this boy would notice things that other people wouldn't notice. He sees things other people wouldn't see. He sees a man in a bathrobe in the middle of the street who's yelling at a second story window. He sees a woman who's very angry at him and doesn't really want to hear what he says. This boy, as the rest of the world hustles by, he slows down. He sees the hurt and the pain. He sees the anguish and the sorrow. He sees the window close and a desperate man trying to get out. What he did doesn't matter. Daddy hurting is all that matters. And this boy would see these things. His father rushes and gets him by the hand and says, "Let's go, we'll be late." He would stop and look one more time. Can I stop his pain? Can I stop her hurt? But the boy loved his father. They would go and they would catch the trolley. I think that's what you call it here. We call it a tram. Yeah, I don't know the words. But he would get on there with his dad, and the boy would just notice people. He would look. And that day, one particular, he noticed something as he got on the train. To explain something, as you can hear, there's a train coming, and I got to get through this before the train gets here. He saw a man. He saw a woman. He saw that the man seemed very happy, and the woman seemed very sad, and he couldn't understand why they could be together, and one be happy, and the other be sad. He couldn't understand that, but the little boy knew that there was something wrong. He had this feeling, this instinct that was amazing, how he cared for other people, but he loved none other than his father. He knew his daddy loved him, and as he watched the world and their hurt and their pain, he knew that he would always have a father. But even notice this, I need you to understand as you hear this story and get involved in the life of this man and his son, I need you to notice that there's no mom. As they walked through the woods, the boy would say to his father, "Dad, what will I do when I grow up? What will I get to do? Will I get a cool job like yours? How will I work?" He says, "I don't know, but I want to change the world. I want to do something great. I want to do something wonderful. I want to help people. I want to do something that can change the lives of anyone. I just want to be that great. I just want to do something good." And as he walked with his dad would say, "Son, you will be great. You will be awesome. You will change the world. Your life is going to be incredible." But there was a train coming. There's always a train. The train is called life. We're all on the train of life, just riding. Whether we realize the truth or not, whether we realize what's happening or not, we're all on that same train tonight. Only God has saw it fit for us to be in the same room, in the same car, for such a time as this. When they get to the edge of the train track, he could see where his father worked. You see the bridge? That's what his dad did. You see, the bridge was very, very important. Boats needed to come to the harbor to get off their goods so they could make money. But trains were coming with people going from one town to the next. Not many cars in Europe, so they couldn't use a lot of that. So many people, not enough roads. So everybody used that train to get from the town to town to get to work and to get home. And one day, the train was coming by. What you have to understand is that boy loved going to work with his dad. He would stay right by the river's edge, and he would do what he loved to do the most. Let me explain that. He loved to fish. Anybody like to fish here? Oh, all the guys go, "Urgh, urgh." The dad looks at his boy and he says, "Son, now remember the rules. You got to stay right here because I can see you from the window right here. Don't get out of the sight of this window because you got to stay there so I know you're safe. Catch you something good to eat." But as you can hear, the train's coming. The father's job was cool. If I wasn't a preacher, I wouldn't mind doing that. Get to work. Get grease on you. Even if he didn't have to, he just squirted on you like you feel like you did something. That's what I would do. There was a boat coming in the harbor. Timing is very essential. I'll go ahead and give you the key. The key is this. There's always a light. Everybody say light. Say it again. One more time. There's a light that the train conductor needs to see. If that light is green, he can go. If it's red, he must stop. You see, God has given us road signs in our life that we must read. Lines that tell us to go and lines that tell us to stop. Whether we read those and believe them or not is up to us. That's why some of you have fallen and you cannot get up. But tonight, that's why I'm here. The boat needed to come through, so he called, and the man said, "Okay, I got time. It's a long time before the train should come." So he pulls the lever, as you just saw, and the big, big, huge stone steel bridge, the gears started turning. They started cranking the steam. All of a sudden, gears are moving, and that big, huge bridge is just starting to go up. As it rises higher and higher, he has to watch and make sure everything's set, everything's good, everything's fine. As he looks out the window, he could see everything, but the dad, being a good dad, keeps one eye on his work, but the other eye on his baby. One eye on the world, but the other eye on his children. You think God doesn't know where you are? He keeps one eye on his world and one eye on his child. No matter what you've done or where you've been, it's one eye on the world, but the other eye's on you. He's watched you and he's kept you. Even though your train is coming down the track, he understands that. And even though sometimes, I don't want to get ahead of myself. See the red light? He didn't see it. So many times we don't see the red light. See, to just say the train was early. The boy can hear and see the steam. And he looks and says, "Daddy, the train. Daddy, the train's early. Daddy, you got a daddy. Hey, daddy, the train. Daddy, the train's coming. But the dad was looking at the gears, making sure he had enough oil, making sure there was enough steam to get the bridge back down for the train. And the boy knew one thing. Now listen, the boy knew that his dad one time showed him where the trigger was. It was a red lever. If he pulls it, the train bridge would collapse down fast and the train would be able to come across. All the boy knew was there were people on that train. There were people that needed to be saved. There were people that had it. Some of them just with their friends having a good time, like everything's fine. They did not know that the bridge was up. They did not know what was coming. They're just living their life like you and me, just going down the road, just being our own thing, doing our own thing. And the dad all of a sudden hears the train coming. He looks, and then he says, oh, my son. He looks out, and his boy's gone. He's like, oh, my God, where's my son? Where's my son? He got to figure out. He looks back just in time to see his son trying to save the day. All he had to do was pull that lever. He reaches in to pull it, and the boy pulls too far, and he falls in the hole. Now it's on the father, and God the Father. Did you hear me? God the Father has to make a choice. It's his now. Do I save my son, or do I save the world? But they don't even know. They don't even know. The greatest decision of his life. He can blame it on them not seeing the red light. He can blame it doesn't matter anymore. Pull the lever, save the world. Leave it up, save your son. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son. Whosoever believes in him will not perish. 3, 2, 1. Go. And they didn't even know. They never would know. They didn't even know the train goes by. It's fine. Everything's cool. The bridge is down. Just like always. It's always going to be down. Are you hearing me tonight?
Oh, wow. It's all on the Father. Father has to make the choice. Do I save my son or do I save the world? The people on the train, they don't even know what's going on. The greatest decision of the whole world was being made. Pull the lever, save the world. Leave it up, save your son. But we all know the word, right? God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish. So I want to ask you the question today. What about you? Do you know this about the Father? And what would you do if it was you? What type of heart is inside of you? And so today, let's open up our Bibles to the fifth beatitude, Matthew chapter 5. It's what? Blessed are the merciful, for they shall be shown mercy. So God himself is mercy, and it is the heart of mercy that God offered to people and gave us what we do not deserve. And then what about you? How about your hearts? Do you have a heart of mercy? Even though you have a valid reason to judge, you're moved with compassion. You are able to release people. You can give grace, and it's easy for you to forgive people. You can move beyond your need to judge others. Wow. Jesus emerges on the scene of this first century into a Roman culture. And I want to remind you, during this time, Palestine was under the control of the Romans. Make no doubt about it, the Romans never admired mercy. ever. They admired justice. They admired revenge. They admired discipline. They admired power. And they admired strength. But they never admired mercy. So at the time of Jesus, there were two systems going, both at the same time. First is the Roman system that has no mercy, and then there is the Jewish system. The Jewish system, shallow, superficial, and everything is about what's on the outside. These religious people are proud, and they're self-centered. Without mercy, they came together and they executed Jesus Christ. Two merciless systems. The most merciful person who ever walked on this earth receives no mercy from any of them and actually crucifies them. Wow. Frankly, the words of Jesus are quite shocking, aren't they? Sounds to me like today. Just like today. Being merciful? No, we won't do that. Be forgiving? No. Be kind? No, we won't do that. Be gentle with people? No, we won't do that. Overlook people's transgressions? We'll never do that. Show kindness? No matter what they do to me? Not today. Not today. So the words of Jesus are very, very powerful. So let's look at this and let's understand what Jesus means. Jesus says in verse 7, what? Blessed are the, for they will be shown mercy. Say that again. Blessed are the, for they shall be shown mercy. The Greek word here for mercy is eleonmone, and it actually means loving kindness or compassion. But it does not simply mean to feel sympathy towards, or to simply mean to have compassion for. It doesn't mean that at all. I want you to understand what it really means. Here's what it really means. When Jesus uses the word mercy, it is the ability to literally get inside someone else's skin until you can think their thoughts, you can feel their emotion, and you understand their pain. That is what Jesus Christ is talking about. Mercy is more than a passing way of pity over a person. It's more like empathizing. It's a deliberate act of feeling other people's suffering, and then you seek to relieve it. That is what Jesus Christ is talking about. Shocking, isn't it? Wow. Amazing. Mercy does not refer to some natural human emotion. It does not. Are you clear? It actually is not an earthly operative principle. It can't even work on this earth. Mercy, here's what I want you to know. When Jesus said that, mercy grows out of a relationship with a living God. Mercy, when Jesus used the word, is not human at all. It's not human at all. It is divine in its nature. I don't know about you, but I say, wow. We need to change our lenses. We need a perspective of what Jesus really meant when he used that word. And so, what Jesus is actually talking about, he's talking about not a human mercy, he's talking about a mercy that operates in God's kingdom and actually will not fit into this world's kingdom at all. That is what Jesus is talking about. Wow. You see, you have to move out of the kingdom of darkness. You have to. You actually are going to have to move out of the kingdom of people. You have to move out of people kingdom. And you got to move out of the kingdom of the world you're currently living in order to be obedient to what Jesus Christ told you. Wow, I don't know about you, but we must move into the kingdom of God and not the kingdom of people. Peter says it best. Peter says in 1 Peter 2:9, you are a chosen people. You are a royal priesthood. You are a holy nation. You are a people belonging to God who called you, what? Out of darkness and called you into his marvelous light. That is what Jesus Christ is talking about. Change your lens when you hear the word mercy. Now, second, we need to be clear on the source of mercy. Source of mercy, obviously, is God. It's not yourself. It's God. So God and Jesus are essentially the essence of mercy. Yes? You think of mercy, you think of God. You think of Jesus. Why? Because they literally got outside of themselves and got inside your skin. Do you understand? They got inside your skin. God sent Jesus and allows him to die, and Jesus takes on the form of a man. I don't know about you, but that is awesome. You see, Jesus understood your thoughts. Jesus felt your emotions, every single one of them. Jesus actually knew every sin you committed and every pain you've ever experienced. He knew you were separated from his Father. And so he gets into your skin. And when he's in your skin, that is called what?
Mercy.
That's mercy. And I want you to know, and I want you to look at this picture. Can you put up that next picture? See this, because this is mercy. It's you. Then there's the cross of Jesus Christ. And then there's God. Jesus dies on the cross and makes a way for us to have relationship with his Father. But I want you to know a couple of things that you need to grasp. Write these down and meditate on them. Number one, mercy never exists without injustice. Did you hear what I said? Mercy cannot exist without injustice. Actually, number two, mercy is a response to injustice. Do you understand? God pours out his justice on Christ on the cross, satisfying the requirements of a just and a holy God. The cross is God being merciful to you. Do you understand? He knows you're a miserable sinner. He knows you have fallen under judgment because you didn't live the right way. But never forget this. So mercy and judgment meet at that cross. Let's get this straight. What's meeting at the cross? Mercy and justice. Wow. But the good news, and I thank God for it, mercy trumps over judgment. And all God's people said, mercy trumps over justice. Amen. Wow. You see, Ephesians 2, verse 4 says that God is rich in mercy. Because, you all know the reason why? Because of what? Because of his great love, which he loved you, even when you were dead in your transgressions. He made you alive. Because of his great what? No, because of his great mercy. Because of his love. God saved us for only one reason. And it is called what? Mercy. Mercy is God's sympathy towards sinful people like us. Suffering people, outcast people, downtrodden, broken. Mercy is God's sympathy towards us. Never forget it. Never forget it. Sometimes when I think of mercy, I think of the blind man in Luke chapter 18. And this man, blind as he might be, when he hears about Jesus coming down the road, you know what he does? He hollers and he screams. And you know what he says? Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Thank you, God. Have you ever done that? You see, the merciful are the people of the first four Beatitudes. The merciful are who? People of the first four Beatitudes. And do you know what they are? Blessed are the poor in spirit. For what? Yours is the kingdom of God if you're poor in spirit. Blessed are you if you mourn over your sin and how far you are from God. What? You shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, those who know that God is in control of your life. Yours is the kingdom of this earth. And blessed are you if you hunger and thirst for righteousness. Then what? You shall be fulfilled. This man knows his four Beatitudes. And only with the four can he find mercy. And all God's people said. Wow. Here is a man. Does he not know his plight? Does he not know it would be impossible for him to heal himself? Absolutely, he knows it. And guess what he does? Does a man cry out for justice? God forbid. You don't hear that out of his mouth. What do you hear? Jesus, Son of David, Not have judgment. Have mercy on me. Wow. Ah, it's wonderful. Have you ever cried out like that ever in your life? Boy, have you missed a lot if you never have. Let's go back and let's watch the rest of the video.
He gave his only son. For God so loved the world that he gave. And you know what's amazing? I wonder what God did right when his son died on that cross. When he breathed his last breath, when he took that breath and he breathed and it was over. Here's what the Father would have looked like. They didn't even know, just trying to think of their life. Just trying to figure out what they're going to do next. Just thinking about the person they're going to see, the people they're going to hang out with. Just trying to be, just loving, caring. Doesn't matter if you're blind. Doesn't matter if you're putting on a little more makeup, trying to look pretty for somebody, or just wearing another mask. It doesn't matter. God gave his son for you. What will I do? Where will I go when I grow up? What will I change? And there was a girl in the bathroom on the train, liquefying her heroin to shoot up one more time. He died for her. He died for her. But in one moment, are you listening? In one moment, it's, the Bible says everybody gets a chance. In one moment to see the look of the Father when he knows what he, when you realize what he did for you, when you realize the sacrifice, when you realize he let his son die so that you can live, when you realize what he did, no matter what you're doing, no matter where you're at in this life, no matter what you're a part of, you gotta stop. You gotta stop. Even if it's for 1 second and think, my God, he did it for me. He did it for me. And I pray to God you drop what you're doing. Drop what you're doing. With all the pain and the hurt and the sorrow in the world, he did it for you. Why you're so quiet. You see, the train's coming. The train's coming. Everybody has things. You have ways of, I don't want to do that. I don't want to, but why do I keep doing it? Even Paul said, why do I do what my flesh tells me, and I do what I know is wrong, and I don't do what I know is right? You got to understand tonight, the fight is on, and we can win. We become more than conquerors through Jesus Christ. And I'm not preaching just for me. I'm preaching on behalf of you. But what you got to understand is, there had to be a moment in those 3 days when Jesus died on a Friday and rose again on a Sunday. There had to be this moment. Go ahead, look at the screen. When it was just God and his baby and his son. Every sin that's ever been committed in this life is rolling through your mind right now. I'm here to tell you that as the sun sets in the afternoon, the sun will rise again. And when the sun rises again, you cannot change your past, but you can change your future. You see, it's always a different day. One day someone lives, the next day they die, the next day you wake up and you're still living. You're like, why am I going to live? Why does this have to be my turn? Why can't I? You can just preach. I could have stopped, but I need you to see the whole picture here. You see, because when God the Father gave his only son, when Jesus Christ breathed his last breath and he died, he did it in a way that you can never ever say, you don't know me, you don't understand me, God don't understand my pain, God don't understand my sorrow. You see, that's the very train that was that boy was on. That's the very train that he was on. And as this dad remembers, look real close. You see the pictures of the people? Bam, there they are. But there's somebody added in the picture, isn't it? Bam, there they are. Do you see who's added in it? In every face of every person, Jesus is in their life. Why? Because when you're the greatest sacrifice, you always end up in everyone's life, no matter where they are, who they are. He did it so that you can say he was there all the time, waiting patiently in line. Jesus Christ was there all the time. And the train keeps going. The train keeps coming. The train keeps moving. People keep living and people keep dying. And God the Father just watches it all. One eye on the world, the other eye on you. Some of you are starting to figure it out. You're like, what is he looking for? Just one girl. Because see, the whole horrible day, God only had his eyes on one person. And it was just a day on the street corner when he walked by, he saw a girl with a babe. And she saw him. Do you get it? Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. He did it so that we can live. No matter what the sin, no matter what the pain, no matter what the sorrow, the sacrifice was perfect.